Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. Why did Jesus choose Matthew to be one of his disciples? Was it that Jesus had to scrape the bottom of the barrel for recruits? Matthew certainly came off the bottom of the barrel with the double condemnation of being both tax collector and sinner. Jesus seems to have chosen the most worthless person he could find, the least deserving man he could find, but that's just what he does. He goes against the grain that a man could make himself worthy before God. He picks a man who could never earn it. He bestows it as a gift. And that's really the point, isn't it? It's a new school year, and about a third of you, statistically speaking, should be first-year students. Why are you here? Any man coming to the seminary thinking that he is a good candidate for the holy ministry because he has something to offer the church should probably leave now. I know that won't make President Wenthe happy nor the folks in the recruiting office, but our Lord Jesus seems to have different standards. He operates with standards that we often cannot understand. But he is Lord, after all. It wasn't that Jesus didn't have enthusiastic volunteers. He did. After he healed many people of their diseases and ailments, he had a man volunteer, contingent upon his finishing up some family business. He had a scribe volunteer as well. Think of what an asset he would have been to the church. And he had a rich young man volunteer his services as well. But Jesus turned them all away. Jesus dispelled all of the romantic notions of wannabe disciples. Instead, he picked Matthew, this pariah tax collector. He binds to himself in discipleship the man whom not only scribe and Pharisee, but all pious and self-respecting Jews kept at an antiseptic distance. And when this tax collector gave a dinner, his guests were limited to his class and kind, men whom the judgment of the synagogue had marked as sinners and segregated from the faithful. Maybe we think that Jesus picked Matthew because of his financial management skills. But remember that Matthew was never put in charge of the group's treasury, in spite of the symbol of the three money bags for Matthew. That important job was given to Judas. No more money handling for Matthew. That life was left behind. I once had a vicar who firmly believed that his status in his former vocation had to count for something. And he tried to build up his status as counting for something in the holy ministry. It didn't, and it doesn't. And by the way, at the end, he was found to be unqualified for the office of pastor. Whatever you were in your former life must be left behind. There is no looking back as you plow the Lord's field. I'm not advocating that the church abandon all standards in choosing men for the office of the holy ministry. Quite the contrary, there are very high standards, as the Apostle Paul reminds us. But the very first criterion should be that you and I place ourselves in the same category with Matthew. We must see ourselves as unworthy sinners who have received first the call of God in holy baptism, And in this sense, I suppose the call of Matthew is also the baptismal call, for here there are no qualifications. There is only the grace and mercy bestowed by our Lord Jesus Christ. The call of Jesus is the action of the one who has authority on earth to forgive sins. Here, standing before Matthew, is the God who justifies the ungodly. Here, standing before these tax collectors and sinners, is the divine physician who heals them of all their sins. Here stands the one who simply doesn't wink at sins as though it did not matter. Here is the one who has made an end to their sins by his own suffering and death. The call of Jesus in holy baptism is the gospel. It is the grace bestowed on unworthy sinners whose eyes have turned toward what the old intro it calls worthless things. And Matthew was called from those worthless things. You were once called in holy baptism, and you are still being called in the Blessed Sacrament. You are summoned again by our Lord in grace and mercy to participate in this banquet for sinners. Here Jesus calls us, urgently inviting us, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Here, Jesus fellowships with sinners like us, giving his own body and blood as the food for our souls, for our forgiveness, for our life. Here is God's mercy in the sacrifice of our Lord upon the cross, not offered over and over again, but bestowed over and over again for sinners. I'm sure Matthew and the other sinners celebrated at this meal with Jesus. They rejoiced, they celebrated. You too, rejoice and celebrate. The holiest supper is ready, and Jesus calls you to himself. Here is his grace and his mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.